News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
One story, though, dominating everything over the last 16 hours or so. Kieran, I suppose, look, just to start by tennis, because it is kind of very confusing. Tell us what we know so far. What has been agreed and what's the timeline we're looking at?
So what has been agreed is a UK-wide customs backstop. A customs arrangement is what it's going to be. It'll look very like the UK remaining member of the customs union, but they just won't call it that. And then for Northern Ireland, they will have extra protocols put in place to ensure that there is no regulatory disalignment between North and South, so that there is no hard border. So there will as well, we know, be a review mechanism. This has been the sticking point in the last couple of weeks. That will be an independent arbitration committee, and that will judge when the UK-wide customs backstop could be terminated. Now, the question of that termination is wrapped up in the second part of your question, the timeline. What happens next? What happens next is that you've got this meeting of Theresa May's cabinet later today. Then from a European point of view, possible EU emergency summit on November 25th to sign off on all this. Then the European Council signs off mid-December. If Theresa May gets it through her cabinet today, you go for House of Commons approval in late December. Passed into law, if it gets through the House of Commons, during February, EU ratification before March 29th, and then Brexit Day, and then you go into trade talks, transition period. How long that transition period lasts, officially at the moment it ends on December 31st, 2020. Theresa May herself and almost everyone else, except the most hardline Brexiteers, has acknowledged that could be extended by a year, but certainly by December 31st, 2021. They are saying in Britain that is the point beyond which none of this will matter, because there will be a trade deal.
That's the kind of the long term picture. I suppose, Kieran, though, there's two key issues. Firstly, can Theresa May get this through her cabinet? And there's as many as nine of her ministers who we know are deeply sceptical about this plan, including perhaps her own Brexit secretary. That is one question. The second question is, can she get this through the House of Commons? And the odds have to be against that, because we know the DUP are going to oppose this. We know there are many people, Brexiteers in our party, who are opposed to it. We know there are even Remainers in our party who are opposed to it. And it seems unlikely that the Labour Party are going to play ball with her. So there must be a very good chance that we are looking at either a general election with Theresa May's government collapsing, or a second referendum, or even both those things, Kieran. And I suppose the key thing for the Irish government over the next day or two is, what exactly does that wording say in relation to the North? Because it seems we don't have a backstop to the backstop. There isn't a specific Northern Ireland backstop.
No.
But it seems that there is some kind of wording specific to Northern Ireland. And obviously the devil will be in the detail for that.
Yeah, the BBC described it very well, of England, Scotland and Wales being in the shallow end of the swimming pool and Northern Ireland being in the deep end. But they're all in the same swimming pool, if that makes sense to people. But look, to answer some of the questions that you posed there, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by Matthew Parris, a former Conservative Party MP, of course, and a columnist with The Times. Matthew, I'm going to start with possibly the most obvious question, the one Shane really asked there. What are the chances of Theresa May getting this through her cabinet and then through Parliament?
Well, nobody in the cabinet has resigned yet, as I speak. Penny Morden still hasn't been seen. She's going to be seen, I think, later today by the Prime Minister. So Mrs. May's first hurdle, which is to get this through the cabinet, does look as though it might be attainable, and that we will know when the cabinet meeting occurs later today. The noises from Parliament, and you ask about Parliament, are different. They're still pretty shrill. The European Research Group in the Conservative Party, who are the hardline Brexiteers, are talking all sorts of mutiny. Jacob Rees-Mogg has just very recently said that there will come a point when he won't be able to support the Prime Minister, in which case he might write a letter to the chairman of the 22 committee that might add a sufficient number to force a vote of confidence in her leadership. But none of this has happened yet. So I think all we can say is that she's she's still above the water.
In terms of cabinet, she has met, as you said, a sizable number of them, no resignations. Yet, who in cabinet were the most likely to jump ship?
Esther McVeigh was definitely one, and she has met Esther McVeigh, the Work and Pensions Secretary, who's a very hardline Brexiteer. Penny Mordaunt is definitely another one. The big beasts, you know, the Michael Goves, the Dominic Raabs, of course, the hardline Brexiteers who are the more important members of the cabinet. It is not thought that any of them are going to go, or they would have gone already.
Yeah. In terms of, I suppose, jockeying for position now, is it a case that Theresa May's supporters are kind of frantically running around the House of Commons trying to get on side? I suppose trying to win over, the phrase that you and I used on Sunday when we were chatting, the soft-hard Brexiteers, so that you, as quickly as possible, isolate the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg and Boris Johnson and accept out the gate that, look, these guys are not voting for it, but let's isolate them as much as possible, as early as possible.
A lot of them will be asleep at the moment. Others will be doing the modern equivalent of what you describe. They'll be texting each other and WhatsApping each other. And there are all kinds of rumours going around. I even heard a rumour that Joe Johnson had only resigned because he has a secret plot with his brother to force the Prime Minister to resign so that his brother Boris can become Prime Minister. It's as crazy as that. There will be black operations going on among the whips, but the truth is that there is now a hard core of Brexiteers who appear to be impervious to any further cajoling, and there is emerging a group of Remainers who have remained rather quiet until now, led by Dominic Grieve, the former Attorney General, who themselves seem to be very unhappy with the shape of the deal. So it's being attacked on all sides, and the DUP are very known to be extremely restless at the moment. The Scottish Conservatives will be looking at what's in this for fisheries, for instance, and it remains very hard to see how she scrabbles together her majority. But I can only repeat, we keep saying that, and she keeps doing it.
Yeah, it seems, though, I suppose, that a lot of the focus, my own focus as well, has been on the ERG and the hard Brexiteers. But you're suggesting that actually there's Remainers as well who look at this and think, not good enough. And what's their game plan then, that or how do they see this planning out? You vote against it, it forces a people's vote somehow?
Yes. Yeah, that is their plan. The Remainers believe that although the British government is huffing and puffing about a no-deal Brexit, they would never lead us into a no-deal Brexit, and if they tried to, there would be a parliament majority in Parliament, including from the Labour Party, that would stop them doing that. And therefore, if she can't get her deal through, the alternative is not, whatever her threats, no deal. The alternative is a new referendum, a people's vote, as they call it. Again, it's a little bit difficult to see that how that would happen when she has said she won't do it. But if Parliament instructs a second vote and the government refuses to do it, you have to have in the end a vote of no confidence in the government. It remains to be seen whether there are enough Conservatives to vote no confidence in their own government and to threaten to bring her down.
Well, one final question then I'll ask you. What is your take on how this pans out? Does it, as you look at the numbers at the moment, can she kind of confound her critics and squeeze it through? And if she doesn't, are we looking at a hard Brexit, a new government, or a second referendum?
I think that she can't squeak this through, although I'm very ready to be proved wrong on that. And I think that if she can't, it's either another general election, because she simply won't go along with what Parliament wants her to do, or it's a second referendum. And I think it's 50-50 between another referendum and a general election. I would give you 3 in 10 for a people's vote. I would give you 3 in 10 for another general election. And I would still still give her, what does that leave, four in ten for getting this through, because she does seem to quite often defy expectations.
All right, well, we will follow closely. Matthew Parris, former Tory MP and columnist with The Times. Matthew, thanks a million for speaking to us.
Really interesting analysis from Matthew Parris there. Kieran, actually, one story really struck me overnight. And for people who are saying, yeah, Brexit, but what does it actually mean? How bad could things get? Premier Foods in Britain actually announced yesterday they are going to stockpile raw materials in the run-up to Brexit because they fear gridlock at UK ports. They're the company that make Bisto, they make Oxo, they make Mr. Kipling.
Oh, yeah?
So they're actually stockpiling stuff. That is how bad things could get. Mr. Kipling makes exceedingly good cakes. The Brits, unfortunately, don't make a good Brexit. OK, well, let's stay with Brexit on News Talk Breakfast and get the DUP view on the deal. Sammy Wilson is the party's Brexit spokesperson. Sammy, is the DUP saying no? Will you reject this deal?
Well, we're making our judgment so far on the headline information which we've been given through the media on this deal. And if the news reports are accurate, then we have no choice but to reject it, because, of course, it goes against everything that we promised that we would deliver on. It goes against everything that the Prime Minister said that she would deliver on, because it keeps the United Kingdom tied into the EU through the customs union. It means that Northern Ireland will be tied even more deeply to EU regulations, and regulations about how our economy works will be dictated by Brussels. And it provides for no release mechanism from those arrangements which the UK would have any control over. And that would be the EU who would have the final say on when we'd be released from those arrangements, if ever.
Is this effectively the end of the DUP's support for the Conservative government?
Well, it's the end of our support for the Brexit process that the government is trying to see through. We will not be voting with the government on any Brexit legislation or any Brexit deal. But, you know, I think that there are a large number of other Conservatives who will not be doing that either. And that, I think, will force a change of heart on the part of the government. We're concentrating on what needs to be done now to rectify the damage which has been delivered to the United Kingdom through this deal which the Prime Minister has agreed, and we're not looking beyond that.
I heard your colleague Nigel Dodd saying yesterday that that the Prime Minister would have her work cut out, I think is the expression he used, to get this through the House of Commons. If she doesn't get it through the House of Commons, in your view, what happens then?
Well, I don't know whether she can survive that. I suspect that she can't, but that's not a question for us, because we're not members of the Conservative Party. But I think that probably what will happen is that the Conservative Party will decide that we need somebody else to do the dealing for us in Brussels. They will choose a new leader, and that new leader, knowing what the House of Commons has done to the deal which has currently been negotiated, will then go back to Europe and say, we want a deal which is actually beneficial to the United Kingdom, and not a deal which is simply dictated by Brussels. And that's what this deal is. I mean, this deal is simply Brussels' attempt to keep the United Kingdom inside the EU on even worse terms than what we had when we were members.
What if there isn't a better deal there? I mean, the EU has basically dug in on this. There's no reason to believe they would change if there was a different Prime Minister in place.
Well, if there's not a better deal there, then, of course, we leave on the 29th of March, and the EU will have to live with the consequences of us leaving. We'll not be getting...
As will Britain, Sammy.
As will Britain, but don't forget, the EU is looking for $39 billion from us. The EU has a trade surplus with us. The EU depends an awful lot on security cooperation and the expertise which the United Kingdom brings to security cooperation across the whole of the continent. So they have a lot to lose as well. They do not come up with an arrangement which both sides can be happy with. At the minute, it appears that the agreement is a one-sided agreement which meets the demands of the EU and doesn't fulfil any of the objectives of the United Kingdom. And if they're not prepared to look again at the deal, then we leave with no deal, and people live with the consequences of that. And by the way, I can say this, And we don't want to see any damage done to the Irish economy. But one of the economies which are really most vulnerable in that situation because of its high dependence upon the GB market and GB as a land bridge will be the Irish economy.
Very finally, we were talking to Matthew Paris earlier in the programme. He said the chances of Theresa May getting, he didn't think she would get this through the House of Commons. He said maybe a 4 in 10 chance. But he also said there was a 3 in 10 chance of a general election and a 3 in 10 chance of a second referendum. What do you believe are the prospects of a second referendum?
Well, I suppose, first of all, just on the general election chance, what would happen if there was no deal? The Prime Minister could then go for a confidence vote. It would mean that members of her own party would have to vote a vote of no confidence in the government to trigger a general election. I don't think that's going to happen. And as far as another referendum is concerned, what difference would it make? I mean, we'd still be back in the same situation where you'd have a referendum, which I believe we would win again, because I think that people are even more firmly resolved that they're not going to be dictated to by Brussels in this way, and you'd be back at the starting point once more. And anyhow, you couldn't have a referendum in place by the time that we leave. Don't forget, we're leaving in March, and even to put legislation through for a referendum and then hold the referendum would be well beyond the March date.
Okay, Sammy Wilson, DUP spokesperson on Brexit. Thanks indeed for talking to us. Let's get the Irish / Brussels perspective now. We are joined by Fine Gael MEP Brian Hayes. Brian, the Irish government understandably staying silent on this, but look, you have your contacts in government buildings. Do you think they'll be happy with what emerged yesterday?
Well, they haven't said anything so far, Shane, and I think that's the right approach to take. I mean, they had a long discussion, as I understand, yesterday with their officials, and I know they're going to meet again this morning. And I think all the government will want to see the text and come to a conclusion on it. Understandably, they're being rightly diplomatic right now. They understand that the real game in town is really in London, and whether or not the outline of this deal can get through the British cabinet, which we'll know later today. But what I've seen in terms of the headlines, it looks as if this deal could potentially be the best possible deal from an Irish perspective. Why? Because when Prime Minister May set out her view in the whole area of customs alignment, following the Chequers declaration, that really was the best solution for Ireland, where effectively North, South, East and West, the UK would remain within a customs territory, a customs arrangement with the EU, thereby negating really the issues that were prevalent for Northern Ireland. So if we get to that and we get agreement on the backstop, which seems to be the case on the UK-Irish side with the review mechanism, I think that'll be a very good deal. But it's still fraught with uncertainty. And I'd also make the point, Shane, which I was hearing around Strasbourg yesterday, that other member states are now bringing other issues onto the table, like fish and governance and ECJ issues. So it's not just Ireland-UK issues that dominate at the moment. It's also around other member states, as the negotiations get to the end point, putting other issues on the table, and that could snarl things up a bit.
Mm. You mentioned the review mechanism. Just explain to people what that would entail, insofar as we understand what has been agreed.
Well, the Taoiseach has already spoken to the Prime Minister about this. He has said, and if this is, I haven't seen the text, so I can't confirm whether it's in the proposal.
No, absolutely. We are speculating here.
We're speculating, but the idea is that the backstop would apply, and would have a review mechanism in it. And I think the Irish government have stated that's a sensible enough idea.
So if Britain we're ready to now leave, to withdraw from this temporary customs union, it then goes into this review mechanism. Half or just under half of the members would be British, just under half would be European, and then an independent arbiter, basically.
My understanding, the British were looking for this review. The Taoiseach has already said in the Dáil that the idea of a review, which was enshrined actually in the Good Friday Agreement and in all international treaties, is a good idea. The problem on the Irish side was, what would be the outcome to that review? Would it be a unilateral British decision? And as I understand it correctly, Barnier and his team were making the case that it would have to be a joint decision rather than one of the parties deciding the outcome to the review. So if that is in the final text, I think that will be a sensible and wise outcome. It will guarantee the no hard border in Ireland, which has been a crucial issue for all political parties.
Absolutely. And just very finally and briefly, if you can, Brian, Sammy Wilson there saying, you know, this deal isn't acceptable. A new leader could come in and negotiate a new deal with Europe. Is there a better deal there for Britain, in your view?
No is the answer to that question. When you're leaving the European Union, you're smaller against a much bigger entity. And the bigger entity, i.e. the 27 member states, have much more power in the negotiation. That was there from the start. It's there now. I've always held the view, Shane, once the Prime Minister has a deal, I think she'll be in a much stronger position because she can turn to the ladies and gentlemen behind her on the Tory backbenches and say, this is a way out. This is may not be a perfect deal, but it is a deal. And it is something that will achieve the objectives of the vote, if that's what you're looking for, ladies and gentlemen. And I think she'll be in a much stronger position to make that case in Parliament once she has a deal. That assumes, of course, that she has the agreement of her cabinet today, and we'll have to wait and see for that.
What did Michael Collins say? Not the freedom we aspire to, but the freedom to achieve
freedom. Exactly. You're going back to 1920 to achieve the exact same political result. Exactly.
All right. Brian Hayes, Fine Gael MEP. Thanks indeed for talking to us this morning.